Good evening and welcome to the latest edition of North London is Red. And the big news is Chelsea have won 2-1 against Aston Villa. So Aston Villa took the lead by Hoss, who actually scored his first goal in the Premier League division. So that was the score at half time, 1-0. Couple of good strikes. You know, before that goal, you could see Aston Villa were building on up. There was a nice strike, but before the break, drinks break that was initiated, Chelsea were finding some rhythm, and after that they continued that brilliant putting in better crosses. And Mateo Kovacic, he had one shot that kind of drifted away by a yard or so. So Chelsea were putting in some good chances, but Aston Villa on the break, they took the chance. That it was a very sumptuous cross by Douglas Luiz, and I think the finish was very good. Aston Villa had the lead, a crucial lead. You know, for them, a point from this game would have been massive. But when they went into the half-time, you know, 3 points. They were looking at 3 solid points. But later, Chelsea captain's assist in a crucial moment. 2 assists by Cesar Azpilicueta meant 2 goals for Chelsea within 2 minutes. And Aston Villa not only say goodbye to their 3 points, they say goodbye to their 1 point, which could have helped them a lot. And moving on, we look at right now, the Merseyside derby is live. And at halftime, it is 0-0. And well, it has been promising and all, but it's going to see interesting where it is going to end. Liverpool, I think, should take the lead. Let's see what can happen. It's derby day. I mean, even though Liverpool are big, big favorites, when it's derby day, anything can happen. But I think the result is going to be one-sided in this case. But let's see. Carlo Ancelotti, Everton could actually surprise Liverpool, who have actually been unbeaten in 2021 derbies. So that's a big record and that's a lengthy record. So if Everton actually want to defeat Liverpool, or if Carlo Ancelotti is giving some big speech right now to his lads in the dressing room, I think he needs more than emotional or, you know, appealing to the emotions or senses of the player. He actually needs to bring out some quality, some very sound tactical synergy between the players to execute it. Moving on, we move to a Manchester United and Premier League legend, Ryan Giggs. He says that there is no doubt about the Manchester United signing Jack Grealish. He thinks it's a very good signing. He said he already feels Jack Grealish is a United type of a player. But when he says more about Jack Grealish, he says signing Jack Grealish is not enough for Manchester United to catch City. So he thinks even if Manchester United sign Jack Grealish, he thinks it's a good signing. He thinks Manchester United are heading one up. They are developing. They're going in the right direction. But he doesn't think that is the signing that is going to make you catch City or Liverpool. And I think he's very apt over there because, see, Jack Grealish is good. And, you know, the reason you want to have a player like with him, you firstly want to give some competition in your midfield, because you look at the midfield of Manchester United, you have got Scott McTominay, who has proven himself despite he was actually tipped off to be loaned, but he wanted to prove himself through the United first team. Then you have Fred, who has thoroughly improved himself, and I think I've been really impressed by Fred this season. Then you have your new lethal pace signing Bruno Fernandes, and you have ever-present controversial Paul Pogba. And of course, you have Vidic and your aging Juan Mata. So I think you keep those last two players a bit aside. And, you know, Juan Mata, he is very useful, but he is useful in his different way. He is useful for his experience and the kind of pressure that United don't feel. Because when the December period flows in, or you want to play some tough games or something, you want a player like Juan Mata in your squad. You want a player like Juan Mata in your starting 11. So he's more sort of a player. So if we keep the last two players they mentioned aside, I think you'd never know when Paul Pogba's mood steps off to leave. You just can't predict that. And you need to have someone giving competition, because if you look at the season, you know McTominay, Fred is going to start or he's going to play, and he deserves it absolutely. But you want to put a player, a sort of Jack Grealish sort of caliber and character, so that even Fred feels that, wow, I took my game to a one level. Maybe it's time to hit the another. So, you know, this healthy internal competition can actually benefit. That can benefit you a lot. And, you know, this element is something not very frequently emphasized upon, but I think it's a very big element. So, and if you look at Jack Grealish's stat and his presence on field, I think they both match with each other, because what he does on field with for Villa, I think it cannot be described in words. Because every pass he makes, every move he makes, it feels like Villa are up to something, they are lively. And his stats, if you look, only Kevin De Bruyne is the better midfielder according to stats in the Premier League, because Kevin De Bruyne has 16-17 assists and he has scored, what, 8-9 goals. And Jack Grealish is no behind in that race. He has got 7 goals and 6 assists. I mean, he's not trying to catch Kevin De Bruyne, but he's the second best midfielder in terms of attacking potential. And that's what the stat says. And, you know, if you still think Villa can stay up and survive, I think he's been the big reason, because they signed Wesley and Tom Heaton, you know, two very consolidated signings at the front and the back. Now, they are gone for the season and, you know, there is a lot of pressure on them. They had to sign the aging Pepe Reina to provide cover and see the slot been happening. This race to stay up was never going to be easy, but it's 1,000 times tougher for Villa in the sense, but I think they're performing well. Yes, the loss today was a bit blowing, but come on, it's Chelsea. I mean, Aston Villa were hoping to get something out of it. These are not the sort of games I really think Villa should actually consider of getting. I mean, every point you get here is obviously useful, but I don't think they should feel disheartened if they can't get something out of it. Because you look at the next fixture, they have got Newcastle. So I think that's going to be a fairly easier fixture to get off a point. You know, they started well against Sheffield United. That draw, see, it was not what Dean Smith I wanted, but it's better to take a point than to drop 3 points. Then, see, they've got mixed fixtures. If they want, they can eventually get themselves out of it. Because after Newcastle, they're going to Wolves. And it's not going to be easy at Wolves. And I don't think you stand a chance against Liverpool and Manchester United. I think it's going to be interesting if they actually manage to get out of it. But after that, I think Villa can fancy their chances. Crystal Palace, I know they're very tactically sound and all, but it's not an impossible team to get a points off. Everton might be the more riskier one in their last three, four fixtures, but I think they can get. And Arsenal, I think the way Aston Villa played, firstly at the Emirates, they would be really hopeful. That was a 3-2 game that ended in Arsenal favours, but Villa was right at the end. Villa took the lead twice and also, and looking at Arsenal's current form, they would hope that they certainly have the edge, and I think they would mentally feel they have the edge over them. And the last fixture of the season for them, right there, I think a relegation 3-pointer. I don't know what is going to happen with West Ham by the match day 38, but they're going to play against West Ham. So if you look at the fixtures, if Villa get their points at again the right games, and if they get something out of the games you would not expect them to get out, you know, I think Villa can stay up. I think they have the players, they have the belief, they have the manager. They just need to translate it on the field in a more solid and concrete way. They can do. I mean, you have three leaving your Newcastle game, and out of your next four fixtures, your next three fixtures you're all likely not to gain any point. But even if you get something, a point or two out of these three fixtures, it's a bonus point. It is a bonus point. You take it in that sense. And let's realistically look, can they win against Newcastle? I think they can. I think their tough three fixtures, they can get 1 point. So see, that's 4 points there. I think they can, they're going to draw with Palace. I think Everton just might be better on the dip. I am not going to make any predictions of what's going to happen with the Arsenal. Arsenal are a team where if they want to beat someone, they can beat someone. If they don't want to, they will not. I mean, it's a lot of other factors affecting that game. And I think they can beat West Ham as well. So from their last couple of these fixtures, they can actually take 8 points. That is my prediction. They can take a minimum of 8 points. So anything more they take is going to get in their advantage. And if you look at their fellow compatriots, they have Bournemouth. Now, Bournemouth are playing Wolves. You don't expect anything big to happen. Then you've got Newcastle. For Bournemouth, they would be happy to see a Newcastle fixture. Or not, I don't know, because Newcastle United just did the double over Sheffield United. Now, even now, Bournemouth are not in a good position because their last set of fixtures are not even good, because after Newcastle, they have four extremely difficult fixtures. They are going to Manchester United. Then they have to face Tottenham. Then they have to face Leicester City. And they have to face Manchester City. So I know they won against Manchester United when the sides met at Dean Court. But that's a different United side now. So, and Spurs, I really doubt if they can get the better of Spurs. There is no way they are going to get something against Leicester and Man City. I don't think so. If you look at their next six fixtures, I think the Newcastle game is giving them some spirit. Their last two fixtures are going to be Southampton and Everton. So I think the Southampton game is going to be crucial. I don't know if they can possibly take something out of Everton, because you need to see at what momentum Everton are going, and I don't think judging them from the Merseyside derby is going to be an ideal example. I mean, you cannot judge a team of how well they do against Liverpool. You need to see how they're doing against their compatriots. So we look at another relegation surviving team. We have West Ham, and they are not having either a good set of fixtures, but their set of fixtures is definitely the best we have seen, because they did not have a sweet return to the Premier League. Wolves obviously got the better of them, but then they have to face Chelsea, tough fixture. It's going to be interesting what happens, but then they have Newcastle, Burnley, Norwich, Watford. Four big games. As much of the points they can get out of these four fixtures, I think it's going to be massive for them. And I think these are the four games which is ultimately going to matter. If for example, they say they get 9 points or 6 points or 7-8 points out of this, that is there, because these are the games they need to seal. If they cannot capitalize on these games, I don't think they are going to stay up, because these run of four fixtures are very crucial. You are going to play against Newcastle, then you're playing against Burnley. Bit up of your league, but looking at the last season and the squad they have, Declan Rice, Lucas Fabianski is back in goal, Angelo Bano, Mikel Antonio, Haller, Ryan Fredericks, Philippe Anderson, star-studded squad, they can do it. They have these four fixtures going to be very crucial. Last two fixtures are against Manchester United. They can be a surprise element against United. And their last fixture, as we told you, is going to be against Villa. So that is another trusting thing. Moving on to another fellow struggler who actually spent most of the time in the drop zone, but now actually look very set and confident to move up. And I think Watford. I don't think Watford are going down. But if you look at the next fixtures, first of all, great work against Leicester City. They salvaged a point, I think, out of nothing. Then you now look at Watford. They have Burnley, Southampton, Chelsea, Norwich, their next four fixtures. I think leaving the Chelsea one, their three fixtures are good. And you know what? They could even manage something out of the Chelsea game. I mean, they defeated Liverpool and they were the team to beat this season. But you know what? On their day, Watford, they have a lot of quality, a lot of character in the squad. They can beat anyone they want to. But let's see how their project restart for them is actually heading out. Because a lot of teams before the play was halted were in a good run. But ever since few of the teams which have played, project restart hasn't been very kind to them. So it's going to be interesting to see Watford belong to which category. So after their Chelsea game, they are going to face Norwich. And I think by the time we would actually know where would Norwich stand, if they're going to have a realistic chance of staying up or not. Then they face Newcastle, West Ham, another big game. Then I think last two games are Man City and Arsenal. And I think they would like to seal their fate before they actually play City or Arsenal. I mean, if they want, they could get a win out of Arsenal, but I'm doubtful if they can get out of City. Then you look at 15th Brighton, who got the 3 points, and I think they took a massive step towards security. I think they are going to stay up. They're going to die someday else. They're going to survive to die someday else, but this is not the season where they get relegated. Then we are looking at another team who potentially wants to keep Aston Villa nervous. We have the Canaries. Norwich City started the season on real high. You've got Timo Pukki scoring those goals, statement wins against Manchester City. But, you know, ever since, it hasn't been the way they would want things to be. And, you know, see, it's kind of a team development they're creating. But they got in, I think, for February and March, they won against Bournemouth 1-0. So they kind of some way squeeze their way through this survival race. So if you look at the fixtures, not a very great deal of fixtures. They would have to do miracles to actually get out of it. Because next play game, they're going to play against the Toffees. And I think this is the game that is going to judge how Norwich are going to go and Everton are going to go. Then you've got Man City, Arsenal. And I don't know about the Arsenal fixture again. Arsenal have been so volatile. You cannot predict anything about Arsenal. But I expect United to beat Norwich City. Then you've got Brighton. I think they should win against Brighton. I think this is the game they need to get all 3 points. I don't think drawing games is going to help City. Then you have Watford with you. Can you get something out of it? I think they should. So if they need, see, if Norwich City need to get going and running, they need someone to score those goals ahead. And they need someone to take some responsibility at the back. And at the back, I mean the defenders, the front four or front three. Because Trim Krul has been doing an absolutely phenomenal job at the back. There is no doubt about it. You cannot say, oh, Trim Krul, you're playing what, 33, 34-year-old or 35-year-old and you're losing? No. He's been damn good for the Canaries. And if something has to improve, is the way they play, the way they need to play in a more structured way with a bit of a cautious approach. After that Watford game, they have a West Ham game. So, see, Brighton, Watford, West Ham, these are the games you want to capitalize on. Then they play against Chelsea. I think Chelsea, at this stage of it, they should edge out Norwich comfortably. Burnley, and now another team who is yet to start of running project restart. It's going to be interesting how Burnley actually capitalize on it. So if Burnley are in a way they have been through this season, I think they can easily edge out Norwich. And then the last game, I think by that time we would know about Norwich's fate. You're playing Man City and you know they would be kind of emotionally powered. Oh, you're playing City and you know you're playing at the heart. I know a lot of teams have won again City this season and all, but let's be frank. Pep Guardiola, he sort of has his squad back in the pieces the way he wanted at the start of the season, because he's got Laporte once again, then he's got Sané. Yes, that unfortunate injury to Eric Garcia, but he has the squad. I think he would have wanted at the start of the season to actually go for a hat trick of titles. Unfortunately, he couldn't. And you know what? I really don't think Norwich can do the double. I know Wolves did it. It was crazy. And I think might as well Liverpool might do it. But there is no way Norwich are going to beat City at the last day. I just don't think. So who are the teams I think can get relegated? I think Norwich are going to get relegated. I just think, you know, you're 21 points, you're 5 points adrift of 19th. And, you know, you're 6 points adrift of safety. And looking at the goal difference, they need 7 points there actually. Because even if they get 27 points miraculously and all, their goal difference is pathetic. So they actually need 8-9 points, and I don't see those 8-9 points coming. Maximum, where can Norwich, with how many points they can finish? I don't know, 25? Maybe 26, that's it. Who is going to join them at the championship? I think Bournemouth are going to get relegated from the Premier League for the first time in their history. I think it is possible. We saw Bournemouth's fixtures and all, and it just hasn't clicked for Eddie Howe this season. It just hasn't. You know, the injuries came and all, and he's done an incredible job, you know, with such a small stadium and all. He's done a good job and all with the players and the finances he has. But I just think there isn't enough in Bournemouth to actually cross the line over. And which team are going to join them? I think West Ham. And I think it would be a big blow if West Ham actually went in there and I'll be frank. See, this West Ham squad is very talented. This West Ham squad can actually be in the top 10. There is no doubt about that. No doubt about that. But the issue is they have been connecting the way they have to be. And, you know, we've seen managers coming and sort of, you know, a renaissance and players are getting better and all. I just find it hardly happening at David Moyes. So, and I think they are going to go down. And for the third time in his career, Mark Noble is going to play a championship season. His third season in the championship, I think Mark Noble and his squad is going to go down. And I say it with a lot of regret. But I think he is going to captain his side to the championship and hopefully bring them back next season. But for me, I think it's Canaries, Bournemouth, and fortunately the Hammers are going down.